Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm always so excited for Monday afternoons to roll around because I get to talk to fabulous, wonderful quilters for an hour, and you get to listen to inside tips and scoops and all kinds of great stuff. I've got three guests today. So let me tell you about my first guest. First of all, she contacted me and said, you know, I have a new book. Would you be interested in looking at it? And I said, you know, absolutely. So she sent me her book. And then a little bit later, one of my friends, Betty, wrote me a note and said, my friend, Cheryl Lynch, just wrote a book called Quilt Fiesta. You know, you must see it. You must talk to her. So, you know, it's like serendipity there. Cheryl contacts me and sends me her book, and my friend writes me. So this book is just absolutely awesome. You know, Cheryl, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be on it.
This is, I just love this book. We're going to talk about the book because that's, you know, why you're here, because I think everybody should own this book, really. It's just amazing. So tell me a little bit about how did you decide on a book? Then tell me what the theme of this book is.
The theme is quilts inspired by Mexican Talavera tiles. Mm. And it really was a little waylay on my quilting journey. Mm-hmm. I really do a lot of embellishing and hand type of work. Mm-hmm. But my husband and I decided to go on vacation, and we've never been to Mexico. We live outside of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And we went to do whale watching, and he likes to deep sea fish.
Oh.
And there's only so much of that you can do. We went in February, and it was a great time. We saw a lot of whales. The deep sea fishing.
Yeah. He enjoyed it.
He definitely enjoyed it. So one of the days we went into one of the little towns, and I fell in love with Mexican folk art. I'd never seen it before, being an East Coast girl, and the colors and the shapes were just fascinating to me. And normally I don't buy a lot of souvenirs, but I brought home so much stuff from that trip, including a powder room sink.
Oh, aren't those things fabulous?
And so inexpensive. So when I got home and started looking at the different, especially the pottery, because back in the day when I was in graduate school, I dabbled in pottery, and I noticed the ceramic tiles had design. A lot of them had designs in the corners.
Yes.
And
yes.
I thought, ooh, those would make great secondary designs, and quilters love secondary designs.
Yes.
And I made a couple of quilts, and I thought, I think I have something here.
So you actually took the tiles and sort of started messing around with transferring those into a pattern.
Right, right, exactly.
Now, one of the great things that you did in your book was color choices.
Right.
Well, I really like that part of it. Tell me what, you know, that's a lot of work to do color choices.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Quilters that are friends with me, it's the opposite of friends with benefits. It's like friends with duties.
Yes.
So a bunch of my quilting friends, I said, listen, you know, I'm working on this book, and I think I have something here, and I have a bunch of patterns. See what you can do with it. Don't look at what I did.
Okay.
Just take it and do it in your colors, change the designs, you know, do whatever. So I got 7 different quilts back that were so different from what I did, because we don't have the same color sense.
Right, right.
So I thought it was very cool to include that in the book, so to let people know that they could do it other ways. And plus, it made me realize how timeless the Talavera tile designs are, because they worked in so many different colors.
Yeah, I just find it amazing. Some of them even added applique to the tile work. Mm-hmm. I was here looking at one with a sort of like a rectangular salsa verde, which your friend Terry made her version with applique on it.
Yes, yes. And she did it. She took that lily, which is also a popular design, but was not in my plans at all. And she used the lily.
So, see, it was in her plans, so that's really cool. Now, tell me how you decided. Now, you have, okay, let's go back here in the front. You have awesome photography. Is this your photography?
It is. And, you know, I think I would have been really nervous if I knew it was going to end up in the book.
Yeah.
But I just snapped away, and Martingale just did a wonderful job taking my photos, and whatever they did to it made the book perfect.
Yeah, you've got tiles shown on urns, and I like the one where you have, like looks like a street market,
mm-hmm,
and there's mirrors and plates and some big jars.
Yes, they sell them all over. There's one street, and it's where you go to buy any kind of craft that you want that's made there. Puebla is the city. It's called the City of Tiles. After we came home from Cabo San Lucas, I was doing some research when I got so into this, and I found out there was this City of Tiles. And it's a colonial city. It's way from the 1500s. The Spanish brought the tile designs there.
Mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
Mexico and to Italy at the same time.
Ooh.
And it's interesting to see how different they both ended up.
So have you been to Italy to check them out there yet?
Not yet, but I've seen tiles other places, but not Italy yet. That has to be on my list.
There, put that on your list. That would be a good thing. So now you've got, you know, you went and you saw these tiles and you came back and this whole thing started percolating. How did you decide which tiles would make and transfer to a good quilt block?
I didn't use any of the tiles exactly, but I chose tiles that I thought that would make a good size applique.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted all the blocks to be the same size so that they could be interchangeable from quilt to quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So all the blocks in the book are 9.5 inches. So it kind of limits what you could do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that
was probably smart, don't you, Cheryl?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, from a standpoint of how you put the book together, I think it was smart that you put all the blocks the same size so that people could combine them.
Right, right. And they could mix and match. And that was my idea. Like, not so much to copy my patterns exactly, but to mix and match them or take something, a design that you have seen, and turn it into a quilt. But it was important to me also that those corner designs, the first one I did was one called Hacienda, and it has kind of a big arc type thing in the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had done those all in the same fabric, there would have been like a big blob where the four corners came together. So I alternated them two different fabrics.
Uh-huh.
And that's what's beautiful about fabric, the texture, the color. You get so much more out of it.
Okay, now let's talk about the fabric, because you and I had chatted back and forth beforehand, and you said one thing that a lot of people ask you is, you know, where are you finding fabrics that have the feel of the Mexican tile work?
Right. And I think that's an interesting question, because I shop at my local quilt shops. I don't shop anything special.
Yeah.
And I guess I just look for something that's big and bold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then
spicy
colors.
Don't you think some spicy colors?
You're not
really using reproduction fabrics or
30s. No. Yeah, I think the boldness of the color, the brightness, is what gives it that Mexican feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree. What color sink did you buy, by the way?
The sink is mainly green with some, it's very intricate with different floral paintings on it.
Oh my gosh, so. I have sink envy now, because you don't know how many times my husband and I, we've been on many cruises down to the Caribbean, and we have gone in and picked out our sink, but we haven't brought one home.
Well, the funny story is that, my husband and I were in this market, and he's more conservative and I'm more adventurous. And there were these sinks. They were $60. I thought, how could I lose hand-painted sink? And I said to him, maybe we could bring one home, thinking he would say, no, it'll get broken before we get there. And he said, sure, let's give it a try.
Oh, wow.
So it was a journey bringing it home, because we flew from Mexico through Phoenix to Philadelphia, and you have to go through customs. So you have to get your luggage, and then you have to go back through security.
With and, your sink.
With my sink. I was carrying it like a baby in my carry-on, and it had all the dirty laundry, you know how to you pack like that. And my husband was a little concerned that when it went through the TSA screening thing that they would pull us over, which they did. But the guy says, Joe, to another TSA agent, come here, you got to come here. You have to see this. So Joe comes over, and the TSA guy says to him, you know how we say that some people will bring home anything but the kitchen sink? So that was a good story.
Yeah. You're probably on their bulletin board now. It's the woman with the kitchen sink. So I'm going to give people your website, CherylLynchQuilts.com. We still have a minute here, but I want to be sure I get that in. CherylLynchQuilts.com and Cheryl Thank Blogs you. Also. So tell me a little tip. Give us all a little tip about putting your label into your backing so that it's not in a corner. How do you get it? We have about a minute. How do you get it so that it's not on the edge and it doesn't fall off while you're basting and, you know, trimming and everything?
Well, I use Microsoft Word. I print on fabric, and then I fuse it on. I fuse it onto my backing. I blanket stitch around it before I sandwich the quilt.
Okay. So then you can place it better. You're not sort of piecing it into the backing as you're – All right, because you have all directions in your book about that, too.
Right.
So what's coming up for you, Cheryl? What's next?
I'm actually working on my next book, which has nothing to do with tiles, which goes back to my first love of embellishing.
Uh-huh.
So that one's off at the publisher. I'm waiting for huge cuts in it. But I'm having fun. I travel around to guilds, and I give talks about my quilts, and I bring all the quilts with me, the ones I made, the ones my friends made. And just have a great time sharing them with people. And people seem to really enjoy the fact that it's a travelogue plus about quilting.
Yeah, that is wonderful, Cheryl. And you have amazing, your portfolio is amazing. People have to go to CherylLynchQuilts.com and look at the quilts that Cheryl makes. You are a phenomenal quilter.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
Well, I have loved chatting with you, my dear. This has been great.
Oh, same here.
Well, I hope to meet you, and you have to tell Betty I said hi.
I will. I hope she's listening. I emailed her.
Oh, did you? She might be flying today, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, I appreciate it, and I will talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Pat. I can't thank you enough.
So if everybody comes back, we will have another guest in a few minutes right after this break.
Quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
are listening to American Patchwork and Quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I have someone on that I am just so excited to talk to. Somewhere along, in, you know, I like blogs. I read a lot of blogs, and I look at a lot of blogs, and somewhere along the way, there was posted this most amazing quilt. Okay, the first thing you have to know is this quilt is 180 inches long by 30 inches wide. Yes, long. It's a long quilt. And so I had to go find out about this quilt, and I found the website. And since then, I've emailed with the designer of the quilt. And so I just had to have her on here. Laura Peterson is from Montana, and she created this most amazing quilt called The Quilt Show. And I wanted to have her on to talk about her quilt with you. And also, she has a website, laurapetersonquilts.com. So you can go see it, and we're going to talk all about it. So hi, Laura, I'm glad
you're here. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited about your quilt. I didn't get to see it in person, which, you know, hopefully I still will get to see it in person.
Yeah, it's still traveling around. It's at a few shows here and there. But, yeah, it's been a very, very fun quilt.
Now, first, just tell everybody who might, you know, somehow they have yet to see your quilt or hear about your quilt. Tell me what your quilt is, what it's about, so we
well,
can get everybody up to date.
It, as you said, it is 9 feet long by only 30 inches wide.
Yeah.
So it is an odd size, to be sure. It's a very large pictorial quilt, mm-hmm. and it's showing 13 quilters and one very disgruntled husband at a quilt show, and they're looking at 12 of the quilts that are on display at this quilt show.
I am just totally fascinated. I mean, how did you decide to make a quilt this size? I can sort of think, you know, see the theory of it. You know, I think a lot of people would find that sort of a fun thing to explore. But how did you come about designing it? Because you have 13 quilts, 13 or 12 quilts
12,
within
12
a quilt.
12 little miniature quilts.
Yeah, within a quilt. How did you come up? How did the process go for you?
Well, first, you have to have the muse for it, and mine came while I was at Road to California, and I was doing volunteer work, which was basically white gloving, as we call it, and as I was standing there behind the ropes, I was watching, my view was all the quilters across the aisle from me with their backs towards me, of course, and they were looking at the quilts on the wall. And they were doing all the things that we do at Quilt Show. We take pictures, we lug around bags of goodies, and it just hit me that we as a group of as quilters are as diverse as the quilts that we make. We are tall, we're wide, we're black, we're white, we're everything.
Husbands in tow.
Husbands in tow, everything. And that really was the genesis for the quilt. And as far as the design goes, it was a very easy design because there was nothing intricate in it, in the sense I knew that it was just going to be 12 miniature quilts. You know, hanging on a wall. My problem is, and there's a lot of different ways to design quilts. And I design my quilt, I already see it finished in my mind's eye. There are people that start the process not really knowing where it's going to end up. But for me, which can also be a curse, because very often what I see in my mind's eye exceeds my technical abilities. So somewhere along the way, I have to figure out, okay, this is beautiful. Now, how am I going to do it? So, but with this, it was a very straightforward design. I knew it was going to be, like I said, you know, some miniature quilts. So I just took a big piece of paper and drew out what I thought I wanted, where I thought the quilts would look best and where I thought the quilters would look best. And that was my design. It was pretty easy to actually design.
How long, of course, you know, everybody wants to know this, how long did it take you to put it together?
Well, actually, from standing at Road to California, it showed there the next year.
And so that's why I think I saw it. Was that a year ago now?
2 years.
2 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. So from the first line on the piece of paper to sewing the label on the back was close, almost a year.
Now, when did you decide you needed a website for this?
Well, after the quilt first, before it went to Rode, it showed at one of my local guild shows here in Montana in late fall. And after that, after the show, about a week later, I actually got an email from my daughter. From somebody had forwarded her an email. She's not a quilter. This was just a friend who didn't even know her mother had a quilt in the show. And there was like 17 photographs attached of my quilt. And no one knew, you know, who had made it, or it was just, it was traveling, this the amazing tool, the internet. I mean, this email was just traveling everywhere. So, gosh, in no time at all, honestly, I got emails from Germany, from Australia, from all over. And the quilt had only shown in Kalispell, Montana. And this was all because of the internet and the quilting community just passing on, oh, my gosh, you should see this, or you should see that. And so what happened was I was spending my entire time in the office answering emails instead of in my studio doing what I love, which is quilting. So I said, you know what, I just have to put together a little website. It's not a real, you know, fancy website, but it answers all the questions that I have been asked, like, you know, how do you make the people? How do you do this? How do you do that? That kind of thing. So it's just all up there. And so now if I get an email, I can say, well, you know, you might want to go look at the website.
Right,
and I can,
I think
I can get out of it a lot faster.
It is. It's a lot faster for you. You know, you don't want to spend all your time. And plus, people want to see it in that kind of detail because it is so incredibly amazing.
There is a lot of detail on it. And now, the nice, one of the things that I wanted to keep, since the theme was diversity, I also wanted to have not only diversity in the quilters, but in the quilts, in the techniques of the quilts. So there's all the techniques that we do are in the quilt. There's a hand applique, a machine applique, a paper piece, a crazy quilt, a hand dye, a hand painted, fused. So I tried to take each quilt represents a technique that as quilters, you know, we either, we all have tried or do.
Now, I, you know, I love the Hillside Village. You know, that's my favorite piece and inside the piece. Do you have a favorite part inside the piece?
No, I don't really have a favorite because I loved making them all, but I will tell you that the ribbons that I assigned, you know, there's first through fourth place. I really put those ribbons on the quilt. What was aesthetically appealing to me, it was not like, oh, this is the quilt that I think should win first place. And I'll tell you that each of these quilts, these miniature quilts, was made with a particular family member in mind. And the little registration form on each quilt, it's their birth date. So they all knew, everyone knew whose quilt I was making at the moment. And after the quilt was completed and I put the ribbons on, my one granddaughter was just outraged that she had won fourth and her cousin had won first. And I was laughing, standing there in my studio, and I thought, okay, I have really recreated a quilt show because we already have judging controversy.
There you,
you
go.
You know, something has won that shouldn't have won. I thought, okay,
hysterical.
I've achieved my goal.
Oh, my gosh. It is phenomenal. Now, what do you, do you have a tip for somebody who maybe has a vision like this but isn't certain how to, you know, doesn't feel maybe they could do it?
Well, you know, I mean, there is the cliche, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But honestly, in this case, that is the truth. I do not have any artistic training nor background. My mother is a very good artist, but I am not. And so I have this one sign painted, a Scott Adams quote on the wall of my studio. Creativity is allowing yourself to make mistakes. Art is knowing which ones to keep. And I think that if you just, and I look at that often because the mistakes that I have made have made me a better quilter. So I would say my, truthfully, my biggest thing is don't be afraid to make mistakes because you can always redo it. And sometimes the mistakes turn out to make your quilt a better quilt.
Yeah, you just have to sort of go for it at some point.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Now, what other kind of quilts do you make, Laura?
Well, I've made, of course, I make traditional quilts. I have a Dear Jane going on way far in the background.
I think all of us do.
Yes, we all do.
Yeah.
Someday we're all going to get together and compare them. But but I started out quilting about 8 years ago when my niece drugged me to a quilting class, and I literally mean she drugged me. And I just fell in love with it. And I made all 9 grandchildren's, of course, the traditional quilts. And then after that, I just, because of a quilt challenge, I actually made a pictorial art quilt, an Asian-themed art quilt, and I loved that whole process. And so I haven't done any large traditional quilts since I've started art quilting, but I still love traditional quilting, and I will get back to, you know, make one again sometime.
So what are you working on at this very moment?
I'm working on a large underwater quilt, again, very large. That's the only thing I seem to know how to work in. And its theme is going to be texture. And all the coral and everything, I'm going to try to bring in a lot of the textures that are so available to us today as quilters.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got mermaids and, you know, all kinds of stuff in it. It's going to be fun.
Oh, my gosh. And will you exhibit that?
Yeah, when it's done. But, yeah, I have to get it done first. We're still in the design stage.
Well, Laura, this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you for coming on and sharing about your quilt.
Oh, well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, I hope to meet you in person and your quilt soon. Visit laurapetersonquilts.com. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute with another guest. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Pat.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And for the second half of the show, I have a guest to delight everybody, somebody that you have heard of and hopefully have made her quilts and visited her shop and gone to her fabulous, famous quilt show every year. So who I have on right now is Jean Wells. Jean is a designer. She's an author, a teacher. She owns the shop in Sisters, Oregon. She also runs the Sisters Quilt Show. And on top of that, Jean is the 40th inductee into the Quilters Hall of Fame in Marion, Indiana. Hello, Jean. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Pat. Good to talk to you.
Well, I think you are just amazing. Jean, you are one of the authors that I have to own all your books. I mean, since I started quilting, I've started buying your books.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I just love your style. And, you know, your style has changed over the years, too, hasn't it?
Well, it has. You know, I wouldn't be happy doing what I was doing 20 years ago. I think, you know, as a quilter, you evolve. I mean, you see new things you want to try. And I guess I'm always reinventing myself. You know, it's just part of what I like to do, and I like to try a lot of new things.
I think that that's really significant, because I feel the same way, is that, you know, what I did 15 years ago, I don't do exactly that anymore.
Yeah, and a lot of those things, you know, I found that I would really get into a way of working and, you know, teach a lot of classes to share it with others. And then mm-hmm. a lot of times ended up writing a book. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you know, I was just ready to move on and try something else. And that's what I've done over the years.
Can you tell me how you actually started to quilt? I don't think I know that.
Well, I was pregnant with my son and wanted to make a baby quilt. And at that time, that would have been 1969, nobody was really doing much with quilting. But I belonged to the Embroiderers Guild in Portland, and Jean Ray Laurie came to teach, and I did a little applique quilt, the easy way, you know, not the hard way everybody tries to do it these days. Just kind of cut things out and hand sewed it to the backing, and I still have that little quilt that I made for Jason.
Do you, I think that's awesome. You know, do you find, because you meet so many quilters in your life, do you find a lot of them actually started to quilt as a baby quilt, making baby quilts?
You know, I do think that happens. You know, there's something about quilting that's very endearing, and you think of a baby and you think of a blanket.
Yes, and
we get customers that way.
That they come in to make a baby.
Yeah, a lot of first-time customers at the store are people making baby quilts.
Now, when did you actually decide to open a quilt store? Were you, you know, like right away? Was this a big, like, you know, I love all this, I have to have a shop kind of a thing?
No, because there weren't. It was really hard to even find cotton fabrics when I first started doing quilting. It was 1975 when we had moved to Sisters a year before, and I was teaching patchwork and quilting in adult education, but driving to Portland to find fabric because there were just double knits around in Central Oregon. And so that's when I started my store, but there was no quilt market, none of that. You had to really search out cottons.
Yeah, I can remember even I started about 17 years ago now, and even then, the selection was a bit pitiful.
You know? Yes, yeah.
So did you ever quilt with poly? Were you a poly quilter? You know?
No.
No?
Nope.
I wonder who's going to collect those. I'm always wondering that.
Yeah, well, I wonder how long that fabric will last, too.
Yeah, forever, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So you, tell everybody where your shop is in case they're not exactly sure.
Okay. We're in Sisters, Oregon, which is in the central part of Oregon, about 2 hours east of Salem or 3 hours east and south of Portland.
Is it a small town? I always envisioned it as a small town, but is
it
really?
We have, you know, about 1,900 people right in the city limits and about 6,000 in the area. But our town really has a small town feeling. We're surrounded by a lot of Forest Service land and BLM land. So
it isn't your typical sprawling sort of community. There are, you know, bedroom housing areas out and about, but we aren't really a very big town. And that's part of the charm of Sisters, too, but we are really close to Bend, 18 miles away, and Bend has 80,000 people, so we aren't out in the middle of nowhere.
Ah, okay. You know, now let's talk about the show that you put on, the Sisters Outdoor Quilt Show. And would you believe this? I have never been to your quilt show, but my mother, who does not quilt, went last year.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
Was she overwhelmed?
Was visiting family, and somebody makes purses, and you know, that some, her husband's side of the family. And so this gal who makes the purses says, we're going to go to this show. And then my mom calls me later, guess where I went? And I'm like, what? I live in Virginia, so I'm a little far to do that. But holy cow, I couldn't believe it. So tell, now your show, you've been putting this show on for a while. I'm looking at your website right now. Mm-hmm. You have the sistersoutdoorquiltshow.org for those who want to find out. And this is your 36th year?
Yes, is that amazing?
Amazing.
Well, the very first year that I had the store, I had a girlfriend who had a boutique, and we decided to have kind of a summer fair, and I hung out quilts, and she had all her pottery and that kind of stuff out, and so that was kind of the first quilt show, and I hung 12 quilts.
Oh, wow.
So then the next year, I thought, well, we should do this again, and I started asking my students to bring quilts in. And so it started out as a student show and tell and, you know, kind of sharing family quilts that you might have. And we have really kept that ambiance and feeling because the show is not judged in any way.
Well, now tell me how the how do you pick? Where we had a question on my blog today for you. You know, how do you pick where to put the quilts? I mean, are you doing a big layout ahead of time?
Oh, yeah. We have it's evolved to the point that we now have 1,300 quilts that we hang. And we have wires up on all of the outsides of the buildings. Mm-hmm. And then we use clothespins to pin up the quilts. Mm-hmm. And we take a picture of each building. And we know we have measurements of the linear measurement and then the height measurement. And that all goes on a piece of paper with a photograph of the building. And then below it, you just fill in, like say it took four large quilts. Then once we pick four quilts to go in those slots, then we use little barcodes. And we put those on the paper so then we can scan it in and actually have a little booklet so we know where everything is if someone can't figure out where their quilt is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, with that many and all the different buildings, it would be difficult maybe for someone to find their own quilt.
Well, you know, it's evolved. The whole system has. And, you know, that's the magic of the thing is that each year we always meet afterwards and figure out, okay, is there anything we need to fine-tune?
Right.
What can we do better? And we now have an executive director for the quilt show, so I don't have to be in charge of everything, which is really, really nice because it got to be a huge job. But my job is still planning where everything will be hung, and I have a committee of six people that work with me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that is a big job. Now, you have other things besides that. The quilts only hang for one day. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, we're dealing with all volunteers to hang them. There's over 300 volunteers, and, you know, there's no way you could do that 2 days in a row because people wouldn't show up the second day.
No. You can only convince them to come
once.
That's, then they forget by next year, so they'll come back. Now, you have for American Patchwork and Quilting's executive, the Quilting's executive editor, Jennifer Keltner, is coming out this year, and she's going to be one of your speakers at the Picnic in the Park. What is that event at the show?
Well, 5 days before the show, the Stitching Post, my retail business, puts on what we call Quilters Affair, and we use the high school. And we have 26 classes a day going on.
Wow.
And Jennifer is doing a couple daytime lectures, and then the Picnic in the Park is the final event, and we have over 800 people. and Jennifer will be the keynote speaker. And you really have to have somebody that is a good speaker and with personality, because you can't do a PowerPoint presentation and you're right. standing in the gazebo just talking to everybody. And Jennifer is so great. We're really excited that we're going to have her this year.
Yeah, I think she's very excited to be there, too. It's got to be. Well, everything I've ever heard, I mean, I know people, it's like a pilgrimage. You know, they come every year and take classes. So do you have like a funny or an amazing story about having this quilt show all these years?
Well, it's kind of an amazing story. It's also kind of sad. But we had a woman who helped us out always here at the store before Quilt Show for several years, helping to put together fabric packets and things. And she had reoccurring cancer, and her cancer had come back, and she decided not to do treatment. And so that summer, we made sure that we placed her quilts at the far end of town so her husband could drive her in to see them. And he did, and took her back home, and she passed away that day.
And but that she got to day, see her quilts.
She did, but here is the really interesting thing. There were huge thunderstorms that surrounded Central Oregon and didn't hit Sisters.
And gosh.
I just have to think that Connie was up there looking over us.
Yeah, it gives me chills.
I know, it gives me chills too. And we've had a couple other of our quilters who have passed away. And my dad also, he passed away the day after Quilt Show. And I think
everybody
he just had to wait
there.
Till after Quilt Show was over. But I just have a little chat with everybody at 5 in the morning when I wake up and say, okay, we need another good weather day. And I don't know.
Have you always had good weather, or have you had a drizzle? Wow.
We've, you know, we've had some wind come up sometimes in the afternoon. If it's really hot, we'll get wind. But we know where the wind tunnel kind of is in town. And so we have taken down like a dozen quilts at 3 o'clock. And not had them up the whole day. But that's really the only thing we've ever had happen. And, you know, I've had people, you know, pose the question, what would you do if it rained? Well, we wouldn't put them up.
Yeah.
Well, they say, well, you'd have to put them up. Well, there isn't any place to put them up.
Right.
but I don't worry about it because obviously I can't do anything about it.
That's
and
right.
I just try to think positive thoughts. And
well, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
And when we come back from break, everybody, we're going to talk about color because Gina's a master at color. So hang in there and come back, and we'll be talking to Gene Wells again for a few minutes at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. you could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back. I'm Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and we're talking to Jean Wells, designer, author, extraordinaire. So, Jean, I am like, you know, like the huge fangirl. You know, I've not taken a workshop with you, but, you know, it's not because I haven't wanted to. I just don't think we've crossed paths. Now, you're all about color, and we talked just real briefly in the beginning about how our work changes as we go along and how you feel your work has changed. What do you think about color and how color has changed for you?
Well, I know that personally for me, that I've always been one that was a little bit of a maverick when it came to the color wheel and supposedly the color theories and so on. And I knew all of those things, and I've taught it before, but I always like to get a little bit edgy with colors. Mm-hmm. And once my children were kind of past that age where I was having to drive them every place, mm-hmm. I started gardening more. Mm-hmm. And there was something about getting more tuned into nature in the garden, and also we live in a pretty part of the country, mm-hmm. that I saw how colors were used in nature and it didn't follow all the rules. Mm-hmm. And so I really started taking my clues from that, and I became a student of color in nature. And I take lots of reference shots of things that I see, and those kinds of images a lot of times spur the color palette that I end up picking. And in this new work that I've been doing that is a lot more abstract and contemporary, mm-hmm. I might be inspired by a, let's say, a tree or whatever, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to do tree colors. I purposely make myself do a color palette that is not what I, what the big idea is. And this way, I find that I am a lot more creative and more innovative with color, where if I'm trying to match up something, I get too anal about getting matchy-matchy.
You're trying to make points match, right?
I don't want to do that anymore either.
Now, you had noted somewhere, I read this, that maybe it was on your bio, your personal website is JeanWellsQuilts.com. So people mm-hmm. can go there and see a gallery of your work. And you were talking about trees. You have a section with tree quilts, which are just totally amazing. Somewhere on there, I read that you took a workshop with Nancy Crow and Gabrielle Swan. Mm-hmm. How did you like those? I've took a class with Nancy Crow many years ago, mm-hmm. and it was just like life-changing for me at the time, because mm-hmm. I was doing traditional patchwork before I took the workshop. That was it. No applique or anything.
Well, what I found with Nancy, I mean, I was at a point in my life where I wanted to do my own work, and I wanted to do more abstract work. And so the class that I had from her was Line and Shape, and it's probably the best thing I've ever done for myself, because it opened up this whole new world to me about line, and I just became obsessive about seeing line every place. Mm-hmm. And I really think that my new work reflects this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll see something and I get my tracing paper out after I've taken a picture, and I'll trace, you know, the picture, and you mm-hmm. can't see all the details. So all you get is like a skeleton. Mm-hmm. And then from that, I'll take and pick a palette and just work on it. And it was really a way for me to become more abstract. and to really just work more with color and with pattern and with line.
Cool. So you're going out. Are you teaching this? I call it more process or method, because you're not really
The
pattern.
I've been doing a lot of teaching, and you know me. I am just such a teacher at heart. I love to teach more than anything and see the light go on with people. And so I've been doing a lot of workshops, and I did a book with CNT Publishing called Intuitive Color and Design, and there's some assignments in there. And I'm right now actually working on a new book that will come out next July with more assignments in it and pictures of a lot of student work.
Now, I'm looking through your gallery at your personal website, the JeanWellsQuilts.com, and are you using a lot of solids, a lot of hand dyes? I don't see a lot of patterned, you know, like...
No, you know what I find is that the minute you take a patterned fabric and you use more than an inch and a half of it, it gives your quilt a personality then and there. I mean, because it stands out. So I want the personality to come from the composition and the line work. I don't want it to come from a floral fabric or Asian fabric or whatever. So sometimes, though, I do use what I call kind of nondescript textured sort of prints just to have a subtle pattern. And I feel like batiks and hand dyes are that same thing, because when you look at some of my newest work, like After the Rain or Beneath the Earth, I was using a lot of hand dyes. And when you look at that quilt, it immediately has a personality because of that style of fabric. So to me, those are prints, but not in the sense of the word that most people would think. And they, I found, were harder for me to use when I first went back to doing them after doing so many solids.
Yeah, I can imagine, because you weren't used to having that extra layer of information, I guess, is more what it
is. You're absolutely right.
So,
and
when you...
You know, I just, whether it's all solids or, you know, using those kinds of prints, my work has more of a painterly look to it, I would say.
I agree. And when you talk about line, if people go out to you, your quilts are very linear right now. They are strips, a lot of strip work. You know, you don't have, and you do have a few with some applique on them, but they're not like, they're not squares and rectangles.
No, not at all.
There's a
the
lot of
the shapes are a lot more organic, because I don't use rulers anymore either.
I love that part.
I do too. And I mean, every line I cut is mine. And this is what I tell the students. When you're cutting your own lines, they're yours. Nobody else can cut it exactly like you're cutting it. So it's like having your own mark.
Yeah, your own sort of weave into it. Are you fusing things down too, or is this all piecework?
Oh, once in a while, but not a whole lot. I am such a purist. I love the sewn line. And there's something beautiful about a sewn line, and where the two fabrics pull together, and then you know, they're either, the seam allowances are pushed to one side or the other, or opened up, but you have this subtle kind of texture that you get from the sewn line that you don't see with fused pieces.
When you're finished then with your top, are you doing the quilting yourself? And what
I do it all myself. Because, again, I wouldn't know how to tell somebody else to do it, and I wouldn't want somebody else to add their personality to it. I feel like it's my work.
I think that that's really true in the type of work that you're doing right now, is that the quilting is actually another design element.
It is. Well, and a lot of times, it's the icing on the cake. It's what really makes a quilt, because it's an opportunity for you to repeat you know, things that you've been doing in the piecing or whatever, and it's that final opportunity to really make it come together.
There's a quilt that I saw somewhere, I don't know if it was on one of the blogs or whatever, you had a picture of you doing a lecture, I guess, and it's on the top of your store's banner, the stitchingpost.com. It's the red, it's like a log cabin sort of, mm-hmm, but it's red, mm-hmm, and teals. Mm-hmm. How is that one constructed? Because it's not a traditional log cabin, but
no,
it very much feels like it.
That's the quilt that, driving home from Nancy Crow's workshop, that I dreamed up that I was going to do, because I was determined to keep working and to keep, mm-hmm, at what I was doing. And so what I love the cutting without rulers. I just couldn't get, mm-hmm, enough of it. Mm-hmm. And so instead of designing something, I thought, what do I already know that I can use as a format and cut, mm-hmm, without the rulers? Ah. And I had also learned how to do those little narrow inserts that are about a 16th of an inch wide. Mm-hmm. So I came up with the idea of doing the kind of improvisational log cabin. And then I put that little thin piece of gold in between every single seam.
Oh, wow.
And that quilt just pops. I mean, I was amazed. I had no idea it was going to be as vibrant as it was till it got done.
Very cool. I just love it. And it does make a statement even on the internet, you know, as a quilt, uh-huh, that you want to look at again and again.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, with the red and the turquoise, I didn't realize how they would advance and recede those colors and create so much movement.
That's true. That's true. There are quilts that all of a sudden just have a life of their own when they're,
mm-hmm,
finished.
Yep.
Now, how big are you normally working? Because I see in your gallery a lot of the pieces are on the smaller side.
Well, I don't know what you consider smaller, but, you know, they're... Usually, I don't know, there are a lot of different sizes. I mean, I have one
there
on there that's 85 inches wide.
Yeah, I see one that's 83.
That
yeah,
stone.
And then the next one's 32, so.
Mm-hmm. I usually don't go much smaller than, well, like 32 or 36.
Okay.
And I would say that the 40 to 60 inch, mm-hmm, and then going down to, you know, probably 72, right in there would be about as big as I work.
Cool.
And sometimes, you know, if I get real inspired, I make something bigger. But I let the subject matter almost lead the way with quilts. I have a big triptych that I'm working on right now.
Yeah. Well, Jean, we're out of time.
Okay.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, well, it's been nice talking to you.
This has been awesome. This is talking with Jean Wells. Thank you so much, Jean. This is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Come back next week as we'll have a brand new show on the 4th of July.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.